We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In this episode, I talked to my friend Tom, who's a special education teacher assistant, who talks about what's like for the schools that was like with people who have autism to go to school. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I sure did, talking to my friend Tom. And if you have time, check out his website called Pod Jerky, and his podcast is also called Pod Jerky. He just recently reached 50,000 downloads. So check it out, and hope you enjoy this episode.
There you go. Yeah. So what is it that you exactly want to do? Like, what challenges are you looking at? Like, from whose perspective?
Probably just in general, like. When I was in special education, I remember there was some questionable classroom where the classrooms were space is available. Like I remember one of the classrooms I was in, it was the only classroom down this one hallway that it was next to. The bathrooms, but the whole hallway smells like let's just say like
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
oh, it smells like a bathroom, but it smells all like sewage and everything. And it's like, yeah. And this is sanitary.
Well, that's usually where the special education rooms are, is in like the basement, and they're usually by a washroom. I don't know if that's for emergencies, so that if they do have to use the washroom and they're not fully capable, like I've worked with students that can't use the washroom on their own, so you have to like run them to the washroom. So maybe that's a reason why they're closer to the washroom, or it's because they want them out of the way of everybody else's classroom. I can't tell what the reasoning is, because I don't set that up. I don't set up where the classrooms are.
I definitely understand that, like. But that was like one of the ideas I came up with, like, well, the location always seems to be like an afterthought. And like, it wasn't just that scenario where we used to have, when I was in middle school, we upgraded from like a smallish kind of room, like say like medium size, to like a very large size where we can actually move around in. And we got like prime time location. It was like, it had like nice glass see-through windows and everything, and it was like really cool. I got right next to the front office, the main office and everything, so you get to see everyone who's coming and going. And like, but then what's funny, years later, when I came back to visit, just out of curiosity, like visiting one of my teachers that made a big impact on my life, she showed me her new room, and it was the old janitor's closet, and it had no window, no view. And I was like, well, gee, you know, imagine if I was a parent bringing my for parent teacher conference, and say, well, this seems like a broom closet. And the teacher, like, how do they react? Is like, well, that's the funny thing. It was.
Yeah. See, I can tell you that it's hard, because I've worked in multiple schools. So it's been different at every school that I've worked at. The school that I'm currently at, we basically have our own section on a floor. So there are four classrooms. But one is kind of like just a closed in room. There's no windows. It's just a double door, like one door in and then one door to the next classroom over. But it's different because that student had to be separated from the rest of the students because he was very physical. He was very violent. So he wouldn't be able to be in a general classroom. So I was with him with another adult in a classroom by ourselves just for that reason, because the student was too physical for the rest of the class and he would hurt other students. So he had to be pulled into another classroom on his own. And then there's classrooms that are full of students with special needs in this department. So, I mean, it's totally different. In other schools, we would all be in one classroom and the classroom was okay. I mean, it wasn't the greatest classroom, but it suited the needs for the kids.
Okay. So in your opinion, what do you think would have to, what do you think the challenges of special education are?
For workers?
Yeah.
So for myself, a lot of the challenges for us would be handling the violence, like the physical violence. Like I work in high school right now, so I get the bigger kids than elementary school kids. When I'm with the high school kids, it's a little tougher because I'm a male. There aren't a lot of male education assistants. And what happens with the males is that they give us the bigger students because we're physically bigger and we can handle the physical students a lot better, I guess, than the women do. Not to say that the women can't handle them, but at the same time, it's just, you know, the student I was working with for the past 4 years was bigger than I am. And I'm bigger than most of the females at my school. So, I mean, it just makes sense to put me with that student. So that's a big challenge. And challenge also is depending on what end of the spectrum they're on. So you could be very high functioning or you could be very low on the spectrum. And
forget everything that you know about a web browser, because you will be blown away by Psychic Browser. It's no ordinary web browser like Firefox, Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, and all the other web browsers out there. It's based on productivity. And let me just name a few other functionalities that it has. It's very fast. It blocks ads by default. You don't see that with Google Chrome, do you? Nope. And there's also a built-in sidebar, so you can have all your tools and systems all in one place without having to go search and wait for the web page to load. It's just right there with the click of a button. Try Sidekick out below with the link in the show notes and descriptions for more information about Sidekick. It'll boost your productivity probably tenfold, because that's what I use it for, is productivity. Check out Sidekick and tell them I sent you.
The challenges there for us are to create a program for the student based on their needs. So my student was unable to do quite a few things. He wasn't very verbal. He didn't want to write. Like his writing was very, very sloppy. So we had to do different things to try and get him to do what we wanted him to do. And the end goal was, I think, at the end of the year, we just wanted him to be able to write down his name, his phone number, his address, and his parents' name in case he ever went out in public and, you know, was separated from his parents, he'd be able to tell somebody that.
That makes sense. Now I'm kind of wondering if this blog post was a bad idea. crap. Has there any, I'm thinking of the words, like what, do you think there's any, challenging parts for this students in special education today?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They have the issue I see in schools is that they get their workers get switched too much. So there's no consistency with their workers. You will have, you know, one worker one day, another worker another day. There's not enough staff to cover the amount of students there are in the departments. So I think that consistency isn't there for kids that are on the spectrum, and they need that repetitiveness, right? I don't know how you are with that, but the repetitiveness for a lot of kids on the spectrum, they require that. So every day would be the same schedule. Come in, go to your locker, come sit down at your desk and do some work, then go for a walk. And they know that routine every day. And if somebody different is working with them, they may not know that routine. And then it gets pulled away from them. And then they start to get frustrated because they can't communicate that, you know, this is not what we do.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to that 100%. Because back in high school, we... like back in high school and middle school, whenever time I had a one-on-one helper, and when my helper was out because they were sick or she was sick or whoever was sick, I always got a substitute, and it was like the worst possible thing I've had to deal with, because just some of them were like, I mean, not trying to like be rude or anything, but they were kind of like, they were definitely clueless at times. And when I tried to fill them in, like some of them listened and some of them did not want to listen. And it was like, are you making this up? And it's like, I don't think I can make this whole scenario up.
Yeah, it's difficult because, like I said, like the consistency isn't there, right? It's tough, especially with nonverbal kids. Like they're so used to that routine every day, and it gets out of control sometimes. And then, you know, one of the other challenges that you face is you don't know, you know, some of the parents don't want to communicate with the workers. So if I have a student and the parents don't communicate with you, you don't know how the morning went or how the night went, like did they sleep well? And so we find that a lot, like that happens a lot with some of the students that we work with, that the parents don't communicate that they had an off night or an off morning. And then they come into school and they're very, very amped up and, you know, all over the place. And we're trying to calm down the situation before it gets out of hand. And then, you know, there's physical violence that happens just because they're frustrated. And I understand. But at some points they have to go home because they're a danger, or they may injure another student. So, you know, that's another challenge that we face with some of the students that we work with.
And do you think it also is a challenge to the students that they can't, that some of them are not able to like sit still, and they're kind of like, oh, I need to get up and get the hell out of this place. And because I know
very big challenge, yes,
too.
Yeah, very big challenge. There's a lot of students that they just want to get up and be, you know, walking around or doing something physical. And, you know, I've worked with students that will sit at their desk and do their work and just, you know, it just takes a little bit of extra time. But I've also worked with students that, you know, you just say, okay, let's just get this one task done, and then we'll do, you know, a walk, or we'll go to the gym, or we'll go, you know, wherever it is around the school to do something in terms of physical activity. But, you know, it that is a challenge. Yes, absolutely.
And do you think that some of the do you think people on do you think the schools need to like rethink the locations of the special education classes? And so just like giving like a second thought, and like without like maybe like, okay, you know, we're just gonna put these people down all the way in the very, very bottom of the school with the rats, or
I somewhat agree and disagree with that. Because agree, yes, because they're always put in the basements, like from my personal experience. But I also agree because there are a lot of disruptions that happen, especially if you're working with high needs, like lower on the spectrum students. We have a lot of those in our school that make a lot of noise, that scream, that are violent, that throw like chairs or tables or whatever it is. And I think they try to keep that away from the general population as to not distract the classes that are going on and the learning that's going on. So they figure, if we put them, you know, in the basement. There's still other classrooms in the basement. We're just in our own section. So like we have like four classrooms in part of the hallway. And then at the other end of the hallway, there's another four classrooms, but it's separated by a stairwell that goes up to the next floor. So we're still in the same floor as other classrooms. It's just that we're separated in our own little section, just, I guess, so that the noise level doesn't happen. Like we had a lot of noise coming out of our classrooms. One of the other challenges, I think, is that some of the workers that work with special needs kids, and I say this very often, is that there's a lot of older people that are working in special needs right now. And when they were starting off in the job, it wasn't the same as it is today. And there weren't as many tasks as there is today. And I guess the younger generation that's coming up and starting the jobs for special education have gotten a little bit more training in certain situations and know how to deal with certain situations a little more than the older generation. And that's not a knock on the older generation at all, because they're still doing a fantastic job keeping up with all the current situations that are going on. It's just that they were so used to a certain way of doing things, and then things progressively changed during the course of, you know, the past 20 years, that they're still, you know, try their old ways, which may not work anymore. And we find that to be a challenge sometimes too, because not everybody knows what to do. And I think generally as a school board, I think there should be more training for everybody and how to deal with certain situations.
Makes sense. Just trying to think if I have any.
Ask away, because you know what we're going to do? We're going to use this recording, both you and I, and we're going to put this into an episode. I'll edit it. I'll even edit it for you.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this will be good, because this is a good, good chat, because you're going to get it into a blog, and then I'll get you to record maybe like a little intro part to it, and I'll record an intro part to it, and I'll put one up for me and one up for you. Like we'll do one for you as well. So
awesome.
Like what are the challenges that you face, that you see as a student with the teacher, like as with an assistant or a teacher being in a classroom, in a special education classroom? What are some of the challenges that you see?
When I was in special education back in, I'm going to say from a high school point of view, because when I was in high school, because middle school, I really liked, I was in like one special education class for all my major subjects and everything. So I didn't have to go from one class to another class, only for my electives. But in high school, I had to jump from every single class. And I think it was totally bogus that I had to do that. I'm going to say one thing about the bogusness of that, because there was this hallway that they called the knuckle. And as you know, the hand has five knuckles. And so there were five hallways going to one hallway.
Today's podcast is presented by Pargo. Pargo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Pargo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's Pargo at podgo.co. I've heard about Pargo through podnews.com, and I've been using them for many months, and I've earned quite a bit of money through them, using them, and Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast. Take a look at them at podgo.com. That is podgo.co.
And it was packed, and there was no, if you got stuck in the knuckle, you're late to your next class automatically. And the teacher, and some teachers hated people being late. And it's like, it's not my fault. And some teachers like tell me, it's like, well, get here in time early. Well, how do I do that? And then I started working with some of my, let's say, more laid back kind of teachers, but I mean, they still like were hard, but they weren't like, okay, well, I'm gonna stop being ball busted to you. What the laid back teachers did, like they started letting me go out of class like the last 5 minutes of class, because obviously they're just going over what's due for homework. And I had my teacher for homeroom, my history teacher for homeroom. And so if I missed the last 5 minutes, and like I had study hall the next period, so I could come right back to his classroom and say, hey, I need a clarification and whatnot. And so they started letting me, some of my teachers let me start leave class early. But what I saw was my English teacher, she was in 12th grade. I think she was there one too many years. And I think what worked for her years ago did not necessarily work for me. And she thought, I feel like she thought she could teach it. She could have people learn at every single, at one level, like one size fits all. And it was totally annoying because like we were reading all these absurd books. Like one of them was The Great Gatsby. And I've heard of it. I never read it. I mean, I read it for a class, but I didn't even count it as a reading list on my personal library on Goodreads, because it's like, I didn't even, like, I'm really good at memorizing like what I read in books and whatnot. I don't remember what the hell I read. it was a little blur, and I was just trying to think, like, and there was times where she, in my study hall class, I was done with all my homework assignments, and she walks by, and she says to me, and it's like, you're supposed to be working at study hall. I'm already finished. I was like, oh yeah, well, let me see. She sits down. She makes me watch her. And there's one time, it was most annoying. I can answer this one question on this study guide that she was having us fill out and everything. She's like, oh, that's in the book. It's in the book, really. That's why I can't find it. And so she made me watch her flip through every single page in the book, scanning each page. I think it was like a 100+ page book or something. And at the end of the study hall, she admits, you're right, the question wasn't in the book. And I was like, gee, I'm right, thank you. Thanks, Captain Obvious. And I probably shouldn't have been a smart ass to her, but she just kept on calling me lazy after lazy after lazy. And I was getting straight A's. If that makes me lazy, then let me try to get straight F's then.
You know, I kind of see that every day as well, throughout the different schools that I've been in. Different adults treat the kids differently, depending on who it is, who's working with who. There'll be some people that will back talk to the kids. There'll be some people that treat them like really, really well. There'll be some people that just don't want to pay attention. They're just there for a paycheck. Like, you see everything. You see it all throughout throughout the whole education system. It's no different than in a normal classroom setting. You still have teachers that really, really, really care. You have teachers that don't care at all. You have teachers that are just in the middle. I see that same thing throughout the education system, no matter where you go. Did you find it hard having different teachers every year, and it was a different learning style for you? There was different expectations put onto you. I find that every time you get a different teacher, like in our department, luckily it's the same three teachers that are there. The classrooms usually stay the same year after year, student-wise, because there's different levels of the spectrum for each classroom. But do you find it hard if you have to go from teacher to teacher in what their expectations are for you personally?
Yes and no. There was times where some of the people I talked that I went to, that some of my teachers, like one of the teachers I had to go to, she told me I needed to do A, B, C, and D, and I did A, B, C, and D. But then other teachers told me, it's like, forget what A, B, C, and D is in this room. and you have to follow my rules on this way. I'm really, really confused. And like, I don't know like how your school district does it, but every semester I got a different case manager, and there was some IEP case managers that were really, really great on top of the ball. And there was other ones that just kind of did like the least work as possible. And I hated when I was at the age where I was able to go to my own IEP meetings, because I had to sit there and listen to everyone says, you know what, I think this will benefit Jimmy. And then it's like, and the other side argues like, no, this is not going to be well for Jimmy. I'm at the other end of the table. I mean, like at the very end of the table, like the head of the table. And it's like, well, Jimmy is sitting right here, and I think you're all a bunch of morons. I mean, I did not say any of that, but
yeah. See, it's different because you understood and could communicate with the people that were in on the IEPs. And, you know, we have students that don't understand, and people talk in front of them like they don't understand. But, you know, in my head, I still feel like they understand. They just can't communicate back, you know, what they want to say. Whereas you understood, and they were still saying these things in front of you, saying that, you know, this is what's going to benefit Jimmy. Only Jimmy knows what's going to benefit Jimmy. Jimmy knows how to work at his own pace. And you know how you're going to be able to do things at a certain tempo, pace, whatever it is, you know how that's going to get completed. They're just putting expectations on you because they want it done the way that they want it done.
Exactly. And like when they were, and during those meetings, I was not allowed to say anything. I was just sitting there minding my own business. And I was like, can I go back to class and be bored there? And some of the classes that meeting interrupted, some of them I liked, and then there's some of them I absolutely hated. But one of the times when they were having the meetings was right in the middle of my art class, and it's like, you pulled me out of my art class, I'd rather be getting back in art. And it's like, it's more fun. But then there was times where it got me out of my English teacher's class, and it's like,
yeah.
She absolutely hated those meetings. And yeah. And I loved it when I could see her, that just looking at her face and say, I hate being here. I could be here, anywhere here. And I was like, well, if I'm stuck here, you're stuck with me.
Yeah. Well, I see. I understand they book IEP meetings. They have so many of them to do throughout the day or throughout the week or whatever time frame that they have it set up for. I understand that they have a lot of them to do and they have to pull you out at certain times. But You generally want to keep the students in the classes that they enjoy more, because it stimulates their brain activity. It stimulates, you know, their enjoyment in the program that you're in. Whereas the ones that they're not totally engaged in, yes, they're going to have a little bit of trouble maybe if they miss a class, but they can always get help after any class, just like any student in the school can. But if they're not engaged in that class, they're still not retaining any of the information, and it's no good for them anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. And I also have to bring up, it's like, you know, like what can make those IEP meetings more meaningful? My mentor who's been helping me, like finding different conferences and everything, and it's not like all up to her.
There are so many ads these days wherever you go. There are ads in movie theaters, on TV, on radio, and on billboards. So why would you want to listen to ads in a podcast? Subscribe to the Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast to get these exclusive benefits. Listen ad-free. Behind the scenes ad.
Are you stuck with, and you don't know what to do for dinner? Well, let me tell you about this awesome, amazing company called Eat Clean Bro. You get healthy recipes.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
Delivered right to your door. They're fresh. They're cooked for you. And all you have to do is heat it up in the microwave or oven. It's simple, quick and easy, affordable, and each meal is delicious. I found them through Tiger Shulman's Karate, and I joined them and partnered with them because I think you will like them too. And I absolutely love their meals. They're fresh, authentic, and it's all around great food that you normally think, oh, gee, I think this would take hours to cook, but they already took out all the cooking for you. All you have to do is heat it up in the microwave. How simple is that? Or the stove. Or the oven. So go check out eClean Bro in the links in the show notes for more information about them. The internet can be a distraction place. It's full of distractions like social media, shopping, and so many more websites that are very distracting, just like video games and whatnot. But it is all over the place. So much noise going on. Well, with a blocker tool like Freedom Blocker, it can block all those distraction websites that you find distracting. I block RuneScape, Facebook, Twitter, and all the social media marketing tools. Without Freedom Blocker, I wouldn't be able to run crazyfitnessguy.com because I'd be distracted all day long. But thanks to them, I'm no longer distracted. Go to visit the web link in the show notes for more information about Freedom Blocker, for more information about what they do, what they are, and whatnot. And you can, and the best part about Freedom Blocker, you can use it on all of your devices, Apple, Windows, Macs, tablets, and more. Visit them to find learn more information.
Do you like Crazy Fitness Guy and want us to stay in business? Consider becoming a subscriber to Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast. By becoming a premium podcast subscriber, you will be helping support our mission, which is to help educate people about autism and change their perspective so that they can look at it as a unique gift instead of a disease that needs to be cured. At Crazy Fitness Guy, there is only me, aka Jimmy Clare. I am what you call an indie podcaster, meaning there is no company backing Crazy Fitness Guy. So in other words, if I run out of money, there will be no more crazyfitnessguy.com. By becoming a premium podcast subscriber, you will get these exclusive benefits like ad-free content, so you do not have to listen to ads like this one anymore. Behind-the-scenes access, you will get sneak peek previews of upcoming shows, and you will get early access to episodes before it's released worldwide. Crazy Fitness Guy's premium podcast has been featured over 9+ countries around the world. So just think about that. If you like these exclusive benefits, go to crazyfitnessguy.com/support for more information. I hope you will consider supporting me and Crazy Fitness Guy for years to come. Thank you for your generous support over the years. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
Access to our free Facebook community and so much more. Become a premium member for only $5 per month. To learn more about the Crazy Fitness Guy premium podcast, go to crazyfitnessguy.com/healthylivingpodcast or click on the premium podcast link in the show notes. Now let's get back to the show.
Conference, like and AppDev finds different conferences too that I could apply for. But then, like she has contacts that she passed along to me and whatnot. And her point, like one of the school districts that she worked with made their kids go to their own IEP meetings and actually talk in their own IEP meetings. Telling the grown-ups what they need, and I thought that was kind of cool way. It's like now if only colleges and school districts get their heads out of the clouds, they could start seeing because, like, for instance, accommodations for college, and I don't know if it's everywhere in every college, but like the colleges, like, okay, one accommodation I could get is a note taking. However, that's only benefits me if someone wants to be willing to be a note taker. If no one wants to be a note taker, technically I don't get that accommodation. So I'm just like, this is an accommodation. And it's like, you guys don't even like try it. The teacher has to do is like, and I'm not like blaming teachers or anything in college, but it's like, they're asking like, well, we have someone in this class that has an accommodation for note taking. Would anybody be interested in it? And no one ever says, I never heard one person has said yes yet. And I think it's totally dumb that's a kind of accommodation because you're kind of like setting people up to fail. Because like, okay, if somebody doesn't want to be a note taker, you don't get that accommodation. Well, that was the only accommodation. And so you don't get it. Yeah. That seems fair. We have technology. How about you let me have use a Zoom and record the whole classroom, and I can listen to my notes. I was like, well, and of course the state laws that say, well, you have to ask to record people and everything. How about you put that in the accommodations? Just let me record. I was like, yeah. Ask anybody that way. There we go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Again, I'm not a lawyer or anything.
Yeah, the accommodations are a hard part of it as well. They can't accommodate everything that they put into the IEPs and any of the testing that they do. They try to do as best they can, but there's been a few things that I've noticed throughout the years. I mean, I don't have any specific examples offhand, but I mean, throughout the years that I've been with certain grade students, like I've worked right from kindergarten all the way up until, you know, the kids have been 21 years old. So I've seen a lot of the different accommodations that were set. And then you sit there and you think about it and say like, okay, you know what, like this student might be colorblind. Like this student does not know how to hold a pencil and they're not able to write. Like there's got to be something else. And they will say that exact thing. Well, that's not in their accommodation. So we got to get them to do it themselves. And I'm like, I'm fully aware that we need to get them to do it themselves, but until we can get them to that point, there's got to be an accommodation for them to make it up until that point. And, you know, so I've seen a lot of that throughout the years.
And I kind of think it's kind of weird is that like some of the other accommodations, like for instance, like if you need assisting technology, they have to go through hoops and it may or may not happen. And I just got kind of thinking, it's like, well, we have, and you guys have a boat, like a huge tech department, and with the latest, you guys say on websites and everything, we have the latest technology. Well, how about you start investing in some technology to get assisted technology? Because you want, well, gee, guess what? If you're accommodating more people who have extra challenges, equals more money for you guys. Cha-ching.
Yeah. See, I noticed like a couple of times that I've worked with students that they're nonverbal, but they were able to do at least like one or two word strings together. And, you know, we would have teams come in and they would tell us, you know, they need to use the iPad to ask to go to the washroom. So they would have a program set up where they would touch the button and it would say washroom, and I refused to use it, and they told me no, you need to use it. And I'm like, no, but the student can say I need to use the washroom. Why am I letting them use the iPad to do it for them when they can say it themselves? And they'll say, well, that's because that's what's in their IEP. We need them to use it. They're using it at home. We want them to transfer it and use it at school. I'm like, but this kid knows how to communicate that they need to use the washroom. Why are we using this? So when they left, and not to knock them or anything, because I know they're doing their job, but when they left, I wouldn't do it because I wanted to encourage the verbal aspect of it if they were able to do it. It's no different than them saying to me, you know what, I can speak in sentences, but you know what, we did like some tests on you and we want you to use the iPad. Like there's no reason for it if they're able to communicate that verbally.
That's kind of like, I've I don't know if the saying if you don't use it, you will lose it would apply here, but I like the saying very much because I think it's kind of true. If you don't use your voice, who knows? Do you lose it? I don't know. I don't want to find out.
Well, not that you're going to lose it, but you may lose certain tools that you would have in your verbal aspect of it. You would lose maybe some of your vocabulary or forget certain things that you used to be able to see, and especially those that were lower on the spectrum, right? They may forget what they were trying to say, and then it doesn't come out the way they want it to come out anymore because they were being trained so much on the iPad or technology to do it for them. We have a student at our school that is verbal but won't talk at school. And, you know, there's no, I guess, reinforcement for him to speak verbally. They let him use the iPad. And it boggles my mind because we know at home he speaks, but at school he won't do it. So, you know, you got to use different tactics in terms of getting communication, I guess, together with the students and the parents and, you know, the school system and everything together so that these kids can succeed as best as possible and be able to get out into the world after they turn 21 and they're done school, that they're able to succeed out in the world if they're going to have a job after, or if they're going to go to day camps after, or if they're going to just, you know, stay at home. You still want what's best for them at the end of the day.
Exactly. And I just think that sometimes I feel like the IEPs work not always in your best interest.
Yeah.
And like it can work against you. Like I said, like the note taking or like now I can actually, like when I was going into college in person, I'm able to use my computers to take notes on. And sometimes I just press record on my computer just to, and like, I'm not a person to sell notes or anything. I'm not that kind of person. And so yeah. I just save my notes so I can go back to listen, because sometimes, like, even though I'm paying attention, there's just a lot of information for me to retain. And then if I don't retain it, I'm like, okay, crap. What did the teacher say? Nope, yep. I have no idea what the teacher said.
Yeah. I think a lot of, I guess, special needs departments are also hampered by curriculum. So, like, a lot of the times you don't want to stray away from the everyday routine. Like, you're still doing your math, you're still doing your English, you're still doing your writing, you're still doing whatever courses it is, depending on the level that the students are at. And I like to have fun with the students. And, you know, I used to sing and dance before COVID with some of the students. And this year, because things are opening back up and we may be allowed to, like, congregate with classes again, I want to start a podcast with some of the students in the special needs department and get them to tell stories of their everyday lives, or maybe be able to interview and try and build some of those communication skills with them that way. And then just put it out there, and, you know, and that's something for them to look forward to. So, you know, there's other things that you can do in departments that aren't necessarily school curriculum that will actually help benefit the students outside of school when they're done. Because, you know, in the department that I'm in, there aren't a lot of high functioning kids. So at the end of their school tenure, I don't think that they're going to go out and get like an office job or, like, you know, some like high executive job or anything like that. Not to say that they can't, because, you know, they can do anything that they want, but at the end of the day, hold on one sec, sorry, but there's frozen ones in there. Yeah. For just me. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I lost where I was there.
Happens to all of us.
Yeah. No, I think, like doing things differently with the kids, it allows them to actually look forward to something, and then they may choose this type of communication inside of the school. Like I was saying, our kids, some of them are low functioning kids, and they won't be having, like, you know, regular jobs when they finish school. So, you know, if this gives them something to look forward to, or they get to interview, you know, maybe a celebrity that they really, really want to talk to, or being able to just improve on their communication skills. And then you kind of say, you know what, do you want to do video where, you know, you can learn the eye contact portion of it. And, you know, they're just different verbal communications or verbal cues and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think it would be really, really interesting if they let me go ahead and do what I have planned to do.
That'd be awesome, because I know some of the electives I got to do in high school, one of them was this TV/movie class. And there was actually like a kind of a TV set in the classroom. And so people got to actually work, the students got to work the lights, cameras, and actually got to be behind the desk. And that's how they did the, I guess you'd call it like morning introductions and the Pledge of Allegiance and whatnot. And so, and they actually did the weather, and even though that they got it like wrong like 100% of the time, but yeah. I mean, that's science for you, but
you know what, and you know, I can also teach them, you know, how to edit, and you know, there's different things that they can do on the computer behind the scenes if they don't really want to be a voice on the microphone or a face on the camera. There's different things that they can do behind the scenes that they may be able to do when they leave high school, because you know what, we didn't know that they had those skills on the computer because we don't give them that opportunity, because we want them to be, you know, at their desk and writing and doing this and doing that. And you know, if we give them that opportunity, maybe they excel at that and they just can't communicate with us to say, hey, this is something I want to do, but we have no idea that that's what they want to do. So I'm going to try and bring that forward and see if that's something that we can work on and see if that's something the kids would enjoy. I know there's a few kids that would love to do it because they aren't shy on a microphone at all, because they would get on a microphone and sing in the classroom. So I don't think they would be shy at all to do it. And especially if they're with me, they trust me. So I would actually be on with them and help them and guide them along the way and let them run the show. But I mean, I'd be there just in case that they had any issues or any, like, you know, dead space that they didn't feel comfortable talking.
That'd be awesome. Like, I remember, like, even in the movie class, we got to learn, like, we were watching the movie Twilight. Obviously, it was not my most favorite movie that we watched, but my teacher actually pointed out scenes that no one else would have, like, picked up on. But she's like, see how this person was running? And she, like, played it in slow-mo. And I was like, that's fake. It's all edited to make it look so real. And it was like, that's cool. And like, she had this like special kind of program on a computer. It's like, stop. And it's like, and she's like, she just dragged it along. It's like, see, it's like not even touching the ground. Not even. And it's like, I was like, I want this program.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even tell me what it was.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's I'm hoping that we can do something like that this year. I think it'll make it fun for the students. I think it'll give them a different outlook on certain things. The teachers might enjoy it because it might give them a little bit of a break from working with the students, and we can do different programming with them. So we'll see where it goes. Hopefully the kids will, you know, take to it and enjoy doing it.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, like my mom always says, nothing venture, nothing gain.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah. You don't give it a try, you never know, right?
Yeah. That's been going off over my head for the last 4 years of running Crazy Fitness Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, I think you got a lot there. Like, I mean, you can turn this into a blog. If you want to send me the recording, just email it to me.
Definitely.
And I'll edit it up nice. I don't know how long it's going to take me. Hopefully I can get it done this week. And then
I'm just going to use it for notes on my end for the blog post.
Yeah, and I'll turn it into an episode, no problem. Like, it'll, we got some good conversation.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.